And now, the Book Report is going to make an Oscar prediction for next year. The film Ender's Game will be out this coming November. The cast includes Harrison Ford, Ben Kingsley, and Abigail Breslin. The story takes place 70 years after a horrific alien war. It centers on an unusually gifted child who is sent to military school in space to prepare for future invasions. We know there will be strong buzz about this incredibly popular sci-fi story next time Oscar rolls around. We previewed the book last year. Find it at bookreportradio.com, archived shows, week of June 8, 2012. I also recently interviewed the author. Welcome, Orson. We are so thrilled to have you on the Book Report today.
Well, it is great to be here.
I have to ask, how did you start writing science fiction?
Well, it's actually kind of an accident. I was a playwright, and I was finding out that when you have a hit play, you can still lose money. Isn't that an amazing thing? And so I needed to make some money to pay off some of my theater debts. The only thing I know how to do is write. And so I was going to try to break into fiction, but I thought, you know, let's find out if this will work. I wanted to write short stories. Well, if you write literary short stories, in that era you were competing with John Updike and Saul Bellow, and, you know, the market was small and it was already packed with, and I had to make money. I wasn't just, you know, so I looked, and science fiction had a viable short story market at the time, and, you know, I had read enough science fiction, I knew science fiction well enough, that I thought I could bring this off. Because you can't fake science fiction, you have to know what you're doing. And so I tried out a short story. First one I submitted with that effort to make money was a little thing called Ender's Game. And they paid me for it, and so I just kept doing it. Now, that's not the only thing I write, but it's the thing that people identify me with most closely, and so I'm not complaining. I'm making a good living, and I'm able to tell the stories I care about and believe it. Good fiction can't be faked. I believe in science fiction for what it can do, for the power that it can have in sort of thought experiments in examining life. And so, for me, it works. Somebody else thinking, science fiction makes money, I'll try science fiction. Oh, we've seen it. Every now and then a literary writer will get the science fiction bug, or a romance writer, and they'll decide, I'm going to write science fiction. Well, if they don't know the field, they're just going to embarrass themselves.
I was wondering, is writing science fiction, where you create an entire world, is that more challenging than writing regular fiction?
Well, I don't want to say it's more challenging. It has different challenges. So you have to do the world creation, as you said, which means you have an expository burden that mainstream writers just don't have. I mean, if I tell you that I'm setting a story in Cleveland in 1975, then there are things you're going to know. There are no cell phones. The people are driving certain cars. A reality that's just, it's there. Now, I can't make mistakes. I can't have somebody pick up a cell phone in 1975. So I have to make sure I know what I'm doing. But I don't have to explain things. But if I'm setting it in Cleveland in 2070, then there's going to be a lot of stuff to explain. Plus, there's a certain challenge that, you know, readers will go, oh, really? That's what you think's going to happen? And there's going to be a kind of a doubt that you have to overcome. So that science fiction has a plausibility burden that is much higher than the burden of plausibility on regular fiction, mainly because you're dealing with a future that's going to be unexpected. It's going to be, you have to earn it. You have to fight your way through to make it so that the reader will accept that maybe that could happen. Maybe that's believable.
Do you think that the science fiction audience has changed dramatically since you started writing?
Well, it depends on what you mean by the science fiction audience. There's the audience for, you know, what's happened is that science fiction has penetrated film and television to an astonishing degree, so that it's now really, you don't have to be a science fiction writer to have elements of science fiction in your work. It's just taken for granted. It's part of our culture. The result of that is that we have a lot of people who think they're science fiction fans, but what they're fans of is film, screen science fiction. Well, screen science fiction, they have such limited time that they cannot get into the expository things that science fiction in print can do. So I can do, in print, much more complicated, much more difficult, and frankly, much more interesting world creation than is remotely possible in film. The audience is, in some ways, huge now. It's sophisticated. It used to be that with science fiction you could do some, and still can in print science fiction, some amazing things. But the audience for print science fiction is shrinking. When you go to the science fiction section, you'll find huge amount of space taken up by vampire books, lots and lots of fantasy. Science fiction itself, traditional science fiction, where you're inventing worlds, things that are plausible, that make scientific sense, that's shrinking. There's less of a market for it now.
So what was your inspiration for this series?
Now, this one came from just the wild idea of time travel that breaks all the rules. In science fiction, we've kind of over the years developed a sort of consensus on dealing with time paradoxes, what you can and can't do. I break all the rules deliberately. The characters know that what's going on is paradoxical. It doesn't make sense, yet they're still trying to make sense of it the way we humans do. We always try to make sense of the nonsensical. That explains all the politics. And so we do our best to make it so that we can understand causal rules that will explain the way things happen, so that we can predict what will happen in the future, so that we can make intelligent decisions and take actions that will have predicted desired results. Well, in this book, they can go back and change stuff. They can notice that they made a mistake and undo it, they think. Only they find out that in the causal universe, nothing ever has just one result.
When you started writing The Pathfinder, did you have a sense it would be book one of a series, that there was just too much story for one book?
I had more than a sense of that. I had a contract. this book was designed to be a trilogy from the start. So each book, I try to write my science fiction so that each book will stand alone. You don't have to have read the previous books, but it helps if you do. And there is a coherent story. I know how it ends. I'm shifting it all toward that conclusion.
We're talking today with author Orson Scott Card.
Your book is so popular with young adults and adults alike.
Well, I came into young adult fiction completely accidentally. My novel, Ender's Game, is very popular with young readers. It has a young protagonist, but I didn't write it for kids. It's definitely an adult book. The only real difference is there are some subjects that you try to deal very lightly with. You can still deal with them all. You just have to have a sort of decorum. That's really not so much for the kids as for the librarians and the parents. But then you also keep a young protagonist. That's the rule. Now, I started writing young protagonists not because I was writing YA fiction, but because that's where life begins. That's where most of the most interesting choices in your life are made. And so with Ender's Game, for example, it starts when Ender is five. And so he's way too young for, you know, YA novels, children's books are aimed at, you have a protagonist who is generally 2 years older than your target audience.
Well, you're primarily known for writing novels, but you've also written for Marvel Comics, you've written plays, even a few video games. What are the different challenges for writing the various mediums?
Well, scripts, I started as a playwright, so to me, that's my first love. I still think of myself as a man of the theater who is just doing fiction as his day job. But when you're writing a script, everything has to be done from the surface. That is, in a novel, I can give you their thoughts. I can go straight into their heads, tell you what's going on. What can I say? That gives you a power. It gives you a freedom to really let people know what's going on, why the person's doing what he's doing. It's one of the problems we had adapting Ender's Game for the screen. You can't get inside his head. You can't get what he's thinking. And so if you just film the scenes in Ender's Game without being able to ever go inside his head, what you have is a movie about an incredibly violent little kid. There's no explanation about why he's doing the things he's doing, which gives it a moral context, which makes him an extremely sympathetic character. He wasn't. In the original scripts we tried, he was, if you'd read the book, you loved the script. If you hadn't read the book, you hated him.
So I guess you're already working on book three, is that right?
The odd thing is the way my schedule works out. I'm working on multiple series and standalone books and all kinds of projects, but just at the time when a book comes out is when I usually start working on the sequel. So right now I'm talking to people about Ruins because of the publicity with the book I have to take my 120,000, 130,000 words and make sure that I bring everything together so that it feels satisfying and full and complete at the end. Not complete just from one book, but complete from three books.
So is actually writing book three more difficult than writing one and two?
In some ways, it's much harder because decisions I made in books one and two, when I really didn't know all the details that were going to happen in book three, I'm stuck with those. I can't go back and change them. And so I have to live with decisions I made 3 or 4 years ago and then try to make them work, even though I've come up with much cooler stuff now.
It's a fabulous, fabulous book. I know it's already at the top of the charts. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.